The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
Fantasy, you're in the 06-0-1-0.
Welcome in to the Week 10 Fantasy Focus DFS Podcast. My name is Daniel Dopp, joined in studio by Mike Clay. Mike, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing splendid. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right.
We're coming off a good week. You know, I feel like the NFL has kind of corrected itself after a weird start. Like a lot of road teams were winning. There was a lot of bizarre stuff happening. Now we're about midway through the season. It's starting to level itself off. The home teams are winning.
Totally. Officiating's getting better and all that.
I don't know about that, but yeah, it's starting to, we're starting to get back on track. So we've got a few good weeks here.
Yeah.
We're crushing it. I mean, we could say that if we weren't, we would be adjusting things, trying to get better, but, making some people some coin, as we've been told. So
speaking of crushing it, we are also joined by LA Smooth Al Smizzle. Al, what's up, man?
Not much. Doing good. Feeling excited about this week. I like the way that the pricing is on DraftKings, and it's breaking down to be a pretty exciting week.
All right. Look at that. Everyone's excited to be here. We're all stoked on this.
Yeah, it's week 10. We're in the double-digit weeks. I've turned on the Christmas music. You know, it's that time of the year. The Hallmark Channel's fired up. We can tune in. Disney Plus is a few days away.
Oh, my gosh.
Frozen 2's a few days away.
Oh, my goodness.
Thanksgiving's a few weeks away.
Just for the record.
I mean, so many good things.
The Christmas song by Nat King Cole is the definitive best Christmas song of all the Christmas songs.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I just want to let you know that.
Okay. I like to mix it up. Like, everybody has a strong opinion. Like, I grew up on the Elvis CD, so that one's close to my heart. But I like to mix it up.
Okay.
Anyway, we're out of time on today's podcast.
Speaking of mixing it up, why don't we talk about some quarterbacks that we're going to potentially start this week? First off, join our weekly contest. Unlimited participants, $200 in prizes. Mike and I will both tweet it out as we do. It's super easy to join, and it costs no money. That's the point of free. It costs nothing.
Zero doll hairs.
Zero doll hairs. You can bring home doll hairs. It is definitely worthwhile.
Yes.
All right. Let's kick it off with a quarterback that is going to be familiar to everyone that has listened to this podcast, Matt Ryan, $6,100 against the New Orleans Saints. Apparently, DraftKings has not learned that Matt Ryan throws for 300 yards every single week, always gets you that three-point bonus. And here we are again, where other than the week when he was hurt and he had a bye week, great value.
Yeah.
Great value.
What do you need me here for? You got it covered. You nailed it.
No, there's a bunch of numbers that I need you to tell all of our listeners.
This is true. He is $6,100 at New Orleans.
I already said that.
He's playing indoors. He's the 11th highest priced quarterback.
There you go.
There you go. There's a number. Yeah, that's way too low. I think he's a top five play this week, but ranked 11, obviously, or 11 in price, obviously, he's value. You mentioned had the bad week 7. He got hurt during that game. Before that, back-to-back top two fantasy weeks. He has four top 10s this season in just 6 games. You mentioned the 300-point bonus, right? 300-yard bonus. He's hit that in all 6 of his full games this season. He's completing a career-high 71% of his passes. And this week has a kind of a mid-pack schedule, we'll say, or opponent matchup is probably the word I'm looking for. 12th most fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks by the Saints. They're a mid-range in most categories, but they only have 3 interceptions, which suggests maybe an additional sustained drive or two. But again, Ryan's been money this year. He doesn't cost you much money. He's a good value.
Okay, let's talk about a guy coming back from injury that the NFL is just better with when he is on the field. Patrick Mahomes, $7,000, taking on the Tennessee Titans. Assuming that Patrick Mahomes plays, we want to continue to monitor that up until Sundays when we get inactives. But if he is active and healthy and out there, are you rolling him out at a $7,000 price tag?
I am, and you nailed the reason why. Only $7,000. That feels a little light to me. As we mentioned, Matt Ryan's good value at $6,100. Mahomes at $7,000 with his ridiculous upside is really appealing. They're in Tennessee. The Titans' defense a little above average against the quarterback position, but they're kind of mid-pack in most categories, including pass attempts, passing yards, passing touchdowns allowed. So we don't have to move the needle much for that. But what else can I say about Mahomes? I mean, I can give you a few numbers, but you know that the guy's elite. I mean, 24 fantasy points a game before his injury to Denver. He's averaging over 2 touchdowns a game. He has regressed a little bit from last season, right? We expected that. His touchdown rate is down quite a bit, but his yards per attempt is up a little bit because he's throwing downfield more often, and he also only has 1 interception, which is nice. So it's Patrick Mahomes. He's a star. The value is good here. It's a neutral matchup. I'm fine firing him up.
Okay. like that. Smiz, let's talk about a guy that you are liking as a cheaper quarterback play. Ryan Tannehill taking on the Kansas City Chiefs. The other side of that, I'm assuming this is just let's save at quarterback so that we can put some money elsewhere.
Yeah, I mean, it's a week where if you want to pay up for the studs at wide receiver or the studs at running back, you're going to have to find some savings. And at quarterback, you can typically find them. So 5,100 on DraftKings. I mean, if I can get 20 points out of Ryan Tannehill, okay, and that doesn't really seem to be a stretch. In his first three starts, 28, 19 and a half, and just over 23 points in his first three games as a starter for the Titans at quarterback. You have the matchup against Kansas City, who's allowing 20.03 points against at quarterback on DraftKings, and it's not that bad a matchup. I mean, Kansas City's allowing a league-high 4.2 red zone drives per game this year. Tannehill's had the 300-yard bonus or three touchdowns in three straight games. The path to 20 fantasy points from him is not all that hard for him to 4X this salary at quarterback and allow me to spend that extra money somewhere else.
Okay. There's another quarterback that's really cheap, and I realize this is far more of a dart throw, but the idea of Ryan Finley at $4,800 taking on the Baltimore Ravens. Listen, it is scary and maybe not fun, but $4,800 leaves you so much money elsewhere, same as Ryan Tannehill. I mean, you're looking for 175 passing yards and two touchdowns, and that salary is going to pay off. So, you know, if you tried to go the Tannehill route and needed a couple hundred dollars to be able to squeeze in everything you want, maybe look at Ryan Finley if you needed to save just a couple of shekels there.
Yeah, like it. And he could have AJ Green back.
Could.
We'll see. Keep we'll an see. Eye on that.
That sounds like it would be a really good movie, too. The idea of Ryan Finley.
Oh, I like that.
Sounds like a good indie flick.
That does sound pretty good, I'm not going to lie. Let's talk about a couple of running backs here, Mike Clay, because you've got a guy, David Montgomery, $5,300 taking on the Detroit Lions. Montgomery's coming off of two really good weeks. Obviously, the Lions have struggled against the run. And $5,300 seems like really good value when you put both of those sides of the equation together.
Yeah, just so listeners can get the full picture, I'm about to trash the Lions defense, and you're sitting here with your Lions sweatshirt on. So,
yeah, that is accurate.
So you will appreciate this a lot. But yeah, Montgomery, $5,300. We'll start with the good stuff about Montgomery before I get into your Lions. But only $5,300. He's the 15th highest priced running back. And, you know, I think his price hasn't corrected yet for two reasons. One of the reasons, I guess, would be because he's been so inconsistent all season with his usage. The other would be they played the Eagles last week, who, I mean, he had two touchdowns, but the rushing efficiency wasn't too good. It was a tough matchup.
By wasn't too good, you mean it was really bad.
What, the matchup?
The rushing efficiency.
He had 14 for 40, had three catches, 36 yards. He really bailed you out with that late comeback, and they scored the two touchdowns when the Eagles were just like, well, we got this thing, it's over. And then they just kind of gave up, and then they had to, of course, try again at the end, and they won the game. But they almost blew that one. Nonetheless, he's had fantasy point totals of 23 and 25 points over the past two games. So he has been delivering since they recommitted to the run two games ago. Also, during those two games, 41 carries, 7 catches, the 3 touchdowns. He's played 72% of the snaps. So he's getting to a point where he's a feature back. He's bordering on workhorse back, you know, aside of deferring occasional passing down work to Cohen. He has been the guy here. That is a good sign going forward, and I think his price is just going to trend upward, especially, again, after this week against the Lions. Daniel, how do you trade for Damon Harrison and you can't stop the run? Most fantasy points to running backs, 13 touchdowns allowed, second most, 1,415 scrimmage yards allowed. That is third most to running backs. I mean, they're getting crushed by that position.
Really are. Have not had Deshaun Hand back the entire season. Damon Harrison struggled with some injuries a little bit earlier on in the year, and then has just not bounced back to be the caliber of player that we know what he is in the middle. But absolutely, I mean, they are just getting gouged from a rush defense perspective. So I can't fault you here for going David Montgomery. $5,300, really good price there. Another guy that you like, Ronald Jones, even cheaper, $4,300, taking on the Arizona Cardinals. And this is after Ronald Jones has officially been declared the starting running back in Tampa Bay, 18 for 67. Last week with a touchdown, two catches for 15 yards. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so much value. Again, if you're paying up elsewhere, it just feels like Ronald Jones is a great guy to be able to fill in maybe your flex spot or your second running back spot.
Yeah, and again, we're only talking main slate. So you have six teams out in the bye.
Yep.
We don't have the Thursday game, the Sunday night game, or the Monday night game. Think about all them teams taken out of the mix. Still, Ronald Jones is the 29th highest price running back.
That's
at $4,300. It is it's just not corrected for the fact that he has been the feature back. And there's some risk. I mean, maybe he starts slow and Peyton Barber plays 35 snaps. Like, that could happen. So you're taking that risk if you use him. But the price is so low that you don't need a ton of production for this to pay off. Like you said, they've kind of like Montgomery, right? They recommitted to him recently. They committed to Jones last week. 41 snaps played. That's a career high. 17 pass routes, also career high. That one's big for me because that's new for him. He never was in double digits. If he can get a few targets a game, that's going to be massive for him. Also had 18 carries in that game. It led to his first top 15 fantasy week of his career. I'm still a little worried about, again, a little bit about the passing work, although it's trending the right direction. Also has zero carries inside the 5-yard line. Has three touchdowns, but that's a little above his expected total of 1.7. So that makes me a little nervous. But again, at the price, it's a nice value. Also, Arizona mid-pack against running backs, but they have allowed the 10th most carries and rushing yards and 4.4 yards per carry. So obviously, teams have been able to run it on them okay. Again, 4,300. Ronald Jones, a good play.
Yeah, sign me up at 4,300.
Yep.
Smith is a guy that you like, understanding that we're going to obviously monitor this for injury, but Le'Veon Bell, only $6,900, taking on the New York Giants. It looks like Le'Veon is maybe the only Jets player that you feel comfortable starting, but this looks like a really positive matchup for Le'Veon.
It is. First, I just wanted to check on you, Daniel. Do you need a standing eight? Because, like, Mike was really hitting you hard with his words there for a minute about the Lions.
Okay.
Are you okay?
He did it on the season-long show, too, earlier when we did the Thursday show with Field. He went all in, not just about the run defense, but just about how bad they are, about their schedule, about their standings, about how I've never won a Super Bowl, all that stuff.
Now you're exaggerating, but again, I'm kind of with you on it, though, right? I'm frustrated.
They should be better than what they are.
Yeah, their record is not as...
It's not as indicative...
Exactly. That's the exact word I was going to use. Yes. Yeah. And again, I'm still a little irritated about that Chiefs game, right?
Like, oh, who are you telling?
Yeah, that they should have won. They won that game. They got ripped off big time. Anyway,
thank you.
Al.
Anyways, we're talking about Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah.
$6,900.
I mean, look, as you said, we got a monitor for injury. He had an MRI on Monday. But if there's no structural damage and he is practicing again on Thursday, he's slated to be a participant in practice today, albeit a limited participant in practice. So we'll get the practice report. Friday is obviously the most important one. That's the walkthrough. They did sign a guy off of the practice squad as an insurance policy in case Bell can't go. But if he can go, it's a great matchup. I mean, you've got a guy who's getting ridiculous amount of usage, especially in terms of how everybody else on his team is being used. He's accounted for 36.7% of the Jets' scrimmage yards this season. The only person that has a higher percentage of his team's yards on the year is Christian McCaffrey. And I guess it would be a cop-out for me to just mention McCaffrey again, because I basically just say play him every week. But if you want a mid-price salary guy against a team that is kind of ripe for the picking. The Giants are allowing the fifth most rush yards a game to opposing running backs and 25 points a game to running backs on DraftKings and DraftKings scoring. He can help you with the pass. He can help you on the ground. He should get the carries inside the five. He's just such a big part of this offense for such a cheap price comparatively to the other players that are ranked ahead of him in a, quote, home game here. It's a home game for both teams, really. I think Le'Veon Bell is just underpriced at this spot, so I'll take the value here. I think that he should be up around 7,900. He's 1,000 less than he should be. I'll take the value here.
All right, really quickly, I know we don't have this as a topic, but you mentioned Christian McCaffrey, because every week we say play Christian McCaffrey because he is just outrageous. This is the highest priced week that we have seen CMC so far, Al, at $10,500. Even at 10.5, just really quickly, if fantasy players wanted to be able to use him this week, do you think 10.5 is too much, or does that still fit in to where you think there's value?
I think that they made it a good price, and they priced guys like Barkley way down at 8.8 and Kamara at 8.2. So now you have to make a decision. Do you want to pay that extra $2,000 to get up to Christian McCaffrey? I think that he is playable with the value that Mike mentioned, the values that you're about to talk about. I think he's in play if you want to go get him. It's just how highly do you rank the value plays to reach up to that range, or are you more comfortable saving $2,000 to get to somebody like Barkley or Kamara?
Yeah, he still comes in at a decent value, but not a great value like we're used to. So sure. That's why, you know, I'll just cheat and kind of get ahead of it. He's not in my roster for this week. In the optimal lineup, he did not make the cut barely, but he's not in there. So
he just
fell short because of the price, but it's all right. You still have plenty of good options out there.
Yeah. Spoiler alert for later on in the show.
Yeah.
No big deal. Al, you had already mentioned Alvin Kamara. Obviously, Devontae Freeman is another guy to look at, and David Johnson. Again, this is one of those, if he is healthy, we feel comfortable with him. $5,700 taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I know the Bucs run defense is tough, but, like, man, $5,700 for David Johnson seems really cheap.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Cardinals running backs as a unit, if you just kind of total all the fantasy points produced by running backs, and then, you know, 1 to 32 ranked the teams. The Cardinals are in the top 10. I believe they're 8th. So you're getting a lot of fantasy points out of the position. He's the lead guy there.
Yep.
You know, so all right. I hear you.
Yeah, a little bit of a dart throw. Wide receiver Mike Clay, we're going to talk about Tyler Boyd. $4,700 taken on the Baltimore Ravens. I think there's two facets to this question, okay? One, Tyler Boyd has a new quarterback, Ryan Finley. So want to have you mention where you feel like that affects his value, either positively, negatively, or does not. And then two, if A.J. Green does play, does that either, again, positively or negatively affect Tyler Boyd? Let's start with A.J. Green, because I think that's the biggest question mark.
Yeah, I mean, he was pretty good when Green played last season.
He was.
So I'm not too worried about that. He was wide receiver 12 during the 8 weeks Green played. Had Green was wide receiver 7, so they were both top 12 fantasy wide receivers those 8 weeks. 25% target share this season for Boyd. It was 23% during those 8 games with Green last season. So, you know, again, it's barely off. He's still going to be utilized a lot. And his targets this season have been massive. I mean, look at his target numbers by week. 12, 10, 11, 6, 14, 7, 14, 9. Even though he's kind of fallen off in fantasy production lately, the usage has been high. And again, you want to chase volume. 13 or more fantasy points in 5 of his 8 games this season. Disappointed in the first meeting. 3 catches for 10 yards on 7 targets. He played outside, though, a lot. I think if Green's back, actually, either way, even if Green remains out, he's still going to play inside more because they're using Alex Erickson and Auden Tate on the outside. He's going to see Marlon Humphrey. We've talked about him as having a tough matchup this week, and I'll get into why we're looking past that in a second. Was good against Baltimore last season. 20 targets in the 2 games, put up 10 for 162 and a touchdown. The Ravens have actually allowed the 10th most fantasy points to receivers this season and are 4th or worse in targets, receptions, touchdowns, and end zone targets allowed. 8th most fantasy points allowed to the slot. A lot of information I'm throwing at you because it's a tough one, right? There's pluses. There's minuses. You like the volume. You don't love the matchup. But here's what it comes down to, Daniel. He is the 30th highest priced wide receiver in the main slate at just $4,700.
Wow.
It's just the way, how often he is utilized and how good he plays since the beginning of last season. Such a good fantasy receiver. I can't get past it, and the computer can't either, right? When I run it through the optimizer, it looks at him as a great value, and it's hard to argue with. So I still think, despite the matchup, he's a good value play.
Okay.
Great value play.
Great value play. Another guy that we think is really good value, Michael Thomas, $8,300, the highest priced wide receiver on the slate taken on the Atlanta Falcons. But let me tell you, with Drew Brees back under center, Michael Thomas looked pretty, pretty, pretty good.
Yeah, this guy is just ridiculously good. The number one fantasy receiver right now, even after the bye. He's the top scoring receiver. He just served his bye. 16 or more fantasy points every week, 19 plus points in 6 of 8. Like, he's almost like, when I said I didn't go with McCaffrey or McCaffrey's not my lineup this week, it's almost like, well, I still get the insanely high floor of Michael Thomas, right? If I don't have McCaffrey in, at least I want Thomas in here. By the way, Thomas right now is on pace to break the all-time single-season catch record. Marvin Harrison,
wow,
back in 2002 at 143. He's on pace for 146. He's been rolling. And by the way, he's on pace for that with 63 of his 90 targets coming from Teddy Bridgewater. That was with a backup quarterback. You know, and his efficiency is actually better with Breeze. I mean, that's not really a surprise, right? He's caught 78% of his passes this season, averaging 9.5 yards per target. Well, he's at 88% catch rate with Breeze and a 10.0 yards per target. So it's unreal that he's on that pace with most of his targets coming from the backup. And his efficiency is even better with the starter. Breeze, of course, is back now. On top of all of that, a great matchup. Falcons, 4th most fantasy points to receivers, 5th most of the perimeter, 12th most of the slot. They're 5th or worse in receiving yards, touchdowns, yards per target, catch rate, end zone targets. They're worst against left perimeter wide receivers, where Isaiah Oliver lines up. 3rd most fantasy points allowed to that slot. That's where Michael Thomas lines 44% of the time. And oh, by the way, one more. Do you want a cherry on the top?
Sure.
For this one. In 6 career games against Atlanta, 45 catches on 59 targets, 577 yards, and 3 touchdowns for one Michael Thomas. Must play this week, I think, in cash.
Wow. Okay. That's a lot of numbers to say that Michael Thomas is good at football.
Yep. If anybody could do it, it's me. Yeah. I got more nerdy stats. One more? One more?
I love it.
Get into it.
I love it.
Let's go play by play.
Smizzle, a guy that you really like, A.J. Brown, $4,300. And this kind of looks like a Ryan Tannehill stack here taking on the Kansas City Chiefs. That'd be a pretty cheap stack that could actually do really well against this Chiefs team that gives up a lot of passing yards.
I mean, it's true. You just kind of nailed it, right? Like, Hollywood Brown did really well at the beginning of the season, and now Dollywood Brown, A.J. Brown, has done pretty well in the past few weeks. 12 catches in his past three games, caught 14 only in his first six. So he's, as we usually see from rookie wide receivers, they start to kind of feel their oats about halfway through the year. The teams trust them a little bit more. Ran a season-high 32 routes last week against Carolina, and this is a game where it's going to be up pace for them playing against Kansas City. So I always like teams that are getting more snaps. Obviously, he should run more routes as they should have to pass more. They will obviously try to establish the run because that is what they do first. And Kansas City is allowing about 140 rushing yards per game. So they're going to try and get the ball to Henry. And Kansas City knows that that's their best way to beat them. So as they do hand the ball off to Henry, that's going to set up play action a little bit better. And A.J. Brown's got a 37.5% play action target share from Ryan Tannehill this season. So when he play actions, he looks for A.J. Brown. So good signs this week. And the price is just so low that there's a lot of paths to success and not very many paths to failure. If he finds his way into the end zone, it's an absolute smash.
Yeah, but more importantly, Al, do you know what A.J. stands for?
I don't.
Arthur Juan. Arthur Juan Brown. I think that's better.
I was going to go with a junior. I was going to say it had Arthur to be Wong. A junior.
No,
that's a good name.
Also, I'd like to say that Hollywood Bollywood joke was like a C-.
Yeah.
It was.
You didn't like the Dollywood Brown? It's Nashville.
Yeah, I kind of get it. He went to Ole Miss, right? Where's he from?
No, I get it.
Oh, right. He's on Tennessee.
Yeah.
All right. That's pretty good. All right.
Well, okay.
All
right.
You guys are the worst.
I was about where he's from.
Fine. It's a C+. That's what you get.
Elite, look,
you get.
D is for diploma.
Arty Juan. My takeaway is Arty Juan Brown is his new name.
A couple other wide receivers. Again, DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel.
Just not corrected.
All the time.
Yeah, we were hammering the Panthers last week on the show, and did that pay off? In fact, when I posted my lineup, the reaction was like, you have no idea what you're talking about. How could you possibly use McCaffrey, Moore, and Samuel and not use Kyle Allen? It worked out perfectly. Kyle Allen was not a good fantasy quarterback last week. And not a good play. You certainly could have done better than that. Samuel killed it. Moore killed it. McCaffrey killed it.
Yeah.
That's why. And that's why we run it through. I mean, you know, somebody asked me, as we could take like 30 seconds for this. Someone asked me like, where does this optimal lineup come from? I put all the values in Excel. You take the top 20 values in terms of fantasy points versus price. And the way Excel works with solvers, it'll take the top 200 guys. It'll run a simulation on it and pick out the most optimal lineup, the most points that can be produced from all of those different players. And that's how it worked out. I had McCaffrey, Moore, and Samuel in last week. And that's how it works.
You did pretty well last week, too.
Yeah, we killed it. Yeah, I set a Millie Maker team with Kyle Allen as the quarterback, too. And we filled in some, because you're going cheap, right, with Moore and Samuel. And you plug in some, and that one did great. I mean, it was a great lineup because you can, with the two receivers so cheap, and McCaffrey obviously was costly, Allen's cheap, you can put in some stars in there. And it crushed it. So it works out.
Yeah, dude.
Just knowing these value plays can help you maximize your lineup.
Well, another value play that we like is Christian Kirk, only $5,200 taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Kirk gets plenty of looks in the red zone, giving him a lot of upside for a guy that is priced outside the top 20 of wide receivers. Again, $5,200 in what could be the highest scoring game of the week of the Cardinals and Bucks, and he's priced outside the top 20.
Yeah, he's had bad luck in the touchdown department this season. He's playing more outside now, but it's a great matchup across the board for Arizona. It doesn't matter, honestly, if he plays inside or outside because they can cover the slot or the perimeter. He's going to see a lot of Carlton Davis now moving outside in that Cardinals offense. We talked about that in the earlier pod. So
is Carlton Davis good?
He is. He might be their best corner, but that's not saying much because it's a bunch of young corners and they've all really struggled. They've given up a ton of fantasy production.
Okay. That's what we're looking for here.
We are.
A ton of fantasy production.
Yeah, are we?
Okay. That is actually what we are doing here.
Okay, got it.
Noted. Let's move ahead and talk about some tight ends where Travis Kelce, $6,400, taking on the Tennessee Titans. I feel like this is the lowest that I've seen Travis Kelce. And it's weird to me, especially in a week where we might get Patrick Mahomes back, that he would be $6,400, Mike. But obviously you think he's a good value here.
Yeah, and he's well off his pace from last season, and part of that is because Mahomes has missed a couple of games, and it's also been bad touchdown luck. But everything past that you like a lot. You mentioned it's a good price. It's a neutral matchup. Titans kind of mid-pack against tight ends this season. But here's something that's really key here. We talk often about that right now we've kind of developed this core eight of tight ends, like this big eight of guys that we feel good about in season long, and DFS you generally want to try to pick from that. We've been doing that all season. A lot of those guys are not in the main slate, right? We're talking about this main slate here. I mentioned before, six teams on a bye, a bunch of primetime games. The only ones from the Big Eight that are in the main slate, Travis Kelce, Austin Hooper, and Mark Andrews. So ideally, you want to try and pick from one of them, and the best value, I think, is, I would say Hooper and Kelce. Kelsey's obviously one of them. Double-digit fantasy points in all nine games, 8.1 targets per game. He has eight or more targets in all but two games. His, as mentioned, bad touchdown luck, two touchdowns, but his OTD is 4.4. He's the fifth unluckiest touchdown scorer in the NFL. I think he'll get back on track, and if Mahomes plays, that makes this an even better value.
Okay. We're going to move ahead to the number one tight end in the game this year, Austin Hooper. $5,500 taking on the New Orleans Saints, and this is another one of those games where, like, you know, we had already talked about Matt Ryan earlier. Like, there could just be a ton of passing in this game, Mike.
No doubt. And again, he, like you said, he has 15 more fantasy points than any other tight end. He's coming off his bye, right? He's like, I'll take my week off, and I'll still
and
be
he's
blowing
still
you guys
be
out
one.
Of the water by more than a point per game. And he's $900 less than Travis Kelce. 14 plus fantasy points in all but 1 week for Hooper this season. Seven or more targets in six of eight games. He's reached 100 yards twice. Get the lovely little bonus there a couple times. Touchdowns in each of his past three games. Facing the Saints here. 10th fewest fantasy points allowed to tight ends this season, but they've only faced 257 tight end routes. That's 9th fewest. They are 6th worst in terms of yards per catch and yards per target to the tight end position, and 12th worst in terms of fantasy points per snaps. That's one of the, you look deeper, you see that, well, they haven't faced a lot of routes. You will face a lot of routes from Austin Hooper, and if your efficiency's bad, he's going to crush you. So he could be a little bit of a kind of a sneaky play, if you will, because the matchup doesn't look as good as it probably is.
I like those sneaky plays.
Sneaky. Love them.
Another guy that we're looking at, Al, is Mike Gesicki. $3,100 taking on the Indianapolis Colts. And obviously at that price point, what you're looking for is just some kind of usage in this game where, you know, a touchdown, five catches for 60 yards. Do you think that Gesicki has that in him taking on Indy?
I mean, based on the usage that he's gotten over the past month, and based on how I think Miami is going to profile moving forward, definitely. He's got 20 targets over the past 4 weeks. That is tied for sixth among all tight ends in the league over that stretch. Draft Twitter is just partying this week because it is finally Mike Gesicki week. This guy is an absolute athletic freak at the position. Usually when I find value plays at tight end, it's somebody that I'm hoping, and I usually use this term there lightly, because versus general population, these guys are all athletic freaks, right? But usually I say, you know, I'm hoping this guy can get me 3-4 catches, maybe 40, 50 yards, and hopefully he'll fall into the end zone. Gesicki is not that type of guy that I'm hoping to fall into the end zone. It's much like the Noah Fant play from last week. This is an absolute athletic freak at the spot. Two catches over 30 yards in the past 4 weeks, and now with Preston Williams out for the rest of the season, we could see an increase in his market share as the Dolphins are in complete talent evaluation mode. Not that they haven't been for most of this year, but moving forward, I expect them to use Gesicki a lot, not just as an inline tight end, but spread out wide at wide receiver. So he has the talent to do it. He has the athletic ability to do it. He should have the opportunity, and he's priced 2,000 to 4,000 less than some of the other tight ends on the board.
Yeah, I like it. Cameron Wolf does a great job covering the Dolphins for us.
Yeah,
he's our NFL Nation reporter. And, of course, I was bothering him this week, borderline harassing him about information because Mark Walton's out and Preston Williams is on IR. Like, who's getting the touches in the backfield, a receiver, that kind of thing. And on his own, he brought up Gesicki's, like, just, he's, you know, obviously he's been trending up. The targets have been there. He said they're going to try to maximize him now. So I'm with you, Al. Good call. I've been picking him up in some season-long leagues.
Oh, nice. Like
and
it.
He's worth it right now.
Yep.
Another couple tight ends that we really like here. Mark Andrews, $5,200, taking on the Cincinnati Bengals. No other team has allowed more yards per attempt to the tight end position than the Bengals this season. So the idea that you're getting a guy that's going to get a 25% target share at $5,200, that's like the price of like a average middling wide receiver. That seems like crazy value.
Yeah, we mentioned, what did I say? There's only three of those top eight in the main slate. We just listed them all.
We listed all three of them right
Kelce,
there.
Hooper, and Andrews. You can't go wrong with any of them.
And if you want to completely punt at the position, maybe a little bit of a spoiler alert for later on, Rhett Ellison.
Oh, yeah.
With Evan Engram being out this week, the idea that his price point of $2,500 is so low, it's a great way to be able to save some money if you're trying to stack in some superstars elsewhere.
Yeah, he's in the 85th percentile in terms of value. So no question. He's a good play as well. If you're totally punting.
Yeah. All right. Now it is time where we look ahead to our weekly lineups for week 10. Quick recap from week 9, Mike Clay, 156.7. You were absolutely in the money if you were playing a 50-50 lineup. That was fantastic.
Yeah, that was great. That was actually my worst lineup last week.
Wow.
Including FanDuel and DraftKings, that was my worst lineup, and it was really good because we just hit on our values. And I know I hate to do that. Like I almost feel awkward, like, oh, we're saying how good we are. Again, like if we were doing bad, we'd be changing things so we do better. We are doing well. That's what we want. We would not do this podcast if we felt like we were giving up bad value plays and constantly missing. It's working. The process is working. That's what we want, and we feel good about it. So we're spiking the ball a little.
Spiking the ball.
Right? No problem with spiking the ball when you score, right?
Nope.
We crushed it.
Big fan of Allo1217. It was our winner from this week, 247.72.
Never mind. Now I don't feel as good.
Yeah.
But
also, congratulations. Again, if you guys want to join our free contest like ALO1217 did, $0 to join, and you can take dollars home with you if you just score 247 points. That's all you got to do.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Mike Clay, we are going to go through and look at what it is that we do again this week. Week 10 lineup. Go ahead and give it to us.
Okay. My lineup is, it turns out, a lot of guys we talked about. Isn't that weird?
That is strange.
I'm going to go with the Matt Ryan, Austin Hooper stack.
Okay.
Quarterback, tight end. Again, this is coming from the optimizer, so it worked out this way, which is nice. Alvin Kamara at running back.
Yep.
David. Yeah, he's pretty good at football. David Montgomery and Ronald Jones. We talked about both of those guys. They fit in here. Tyler Boyd. We broke him down. DJ Moore. Again, 5,200. Still a terrific value. Michael Thomas. I mentioned before, I am starting him at 8,300. And then I will go with the Arizona Cardinals defense at 2,200. I'm actually leaving $200 on the table. I want to give you a chance this week. I've been on a hot streak. So I'll give you an extra $200 to work with. Go ahead.
That is so sweet of you. I really do appreciate that. That means a lot. Here's going to be my lineup for this week. I'm taking Patrick Mahomes, and I reserve the right, obviously, if Patrick Mahomes decides, you know, for something happens in practice at the end of the week, then he doesn't play. Like, I'm going to probably switch him out potentially for Lamar Jackson. I got to look at it a little bit more.
Okay.
But like Patrick Mahomes this week, David Montgomery, Rojo, and Nick Chubb are my three running backs. I just like the volume that I think is going to come from there. Michael Thomas, Tyreek Hill, and Christian Kirk are my three wide receivers. Again, okay, three guys that I think are going to get a lot of volume. Tyreek Hill, if Patrick Mahomes doesn't play, I'll probably swap him out for somebody else, but no big deal. I'm going Rhett Ellison at tight end. In order to get
Rhett,
Nick Chubb and Michael Thomas and Tyreek Hill and Patrick Mahomes, I had to find a spot to be able to squeeze in some value.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, Al mentioned, I was reading, I said this before we started, I was reading Al's Best Buy column, and I was like, did your Best Buy column just convince me to start Rhett Ellison? And I think it did. I think
it did. All right.
And then I'm going to take the Arizona Cardinals defense as well. And so, man, these are two good-looking lineups. We have a little bit of crossover here, but Al, you are 5-2 on the season. You tell us for week 10 which side you're going to land on.
I think that this is a very, very close week between the two lineups. There's obviously a bunch of overlap. I think four guys in both lineups, but I like the higher floor that Mike's lineup has with Ryan and Hooper. But I do think Dobbs' lineup is going to be extremely competitive this week. And if Ellison falls into the end zone and Tyreek Hill catches an 80-yard touchdown, then I think he takes it. But I'm going to go with the higher floor and equal ceiling and go with Mike this week.
I don't even need that. I didn't even need them $200. I'm going to go spend that on
lunch. Left $500 on the table.
Like, oh, you did?
Yeah, congratulations. I'm playing with less money than you are.
All right, well, maybe you should have spent it up.
All right, well, we'll see how this works out, guys. Thank you so much for hanging out with us again. Every Thursday we do this DFS podcast. Try and keep it quick and concise just to be able to give you guys some fun picks that can make you a little bit of money. So if you enjoy it, make sure you tweet at Mike Clay NFL, tweet at Al Zeidenfeld. Let us know your lineups, where you think we're right, where you think we're wrong. And until next week, guys, we will see you out there. Join our league, and we'll see you in week 11. He's a Brave.